Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you remember, but some years back, I remember seeing some unusual headlines in January that talked about snow falling on Daytona Beach. And then there was another headline along with it that said, iguanas fall from trees with the cold snap in Florida. Do you remember that? Now, those are the types of headlines that get your attention. They make you wonder, what is going on in this world? Snow on Daytona Beach, well, that's not usual, is it? And iguanas fall from trees sound like something Rod Serling or Stephen King cooked up. It's the sort of thing to make you stop and think. And that's sort of what Epiphany is. Something that makes you stop and think. Now, I have to be honest and tell you that when somebody says, I've had an epiphany or something, I think of the movie Hook, when Smee says, I've had an apostrophe, and Hook says, no, I think you mean an epiphany. However, putting that aside, when you talk about what having an epiphany means, it's a revelation, a moment of clarity, or some call it an aha moment. That's what we get in the gospel lesson today, an aha moment. This is a moment of revelation to the world. This moment when the Magi come to Herod and ask about the place where the king was to be born. The king's coming wasn't some small private matter, as today's gospel lesson makes clear. His coming as a baby to Judea, to the town of Bethlehem, was something the whole world took note of. The universe responded to it. This baby's birth was no small matter. Look at the nouns. Look at the people that are mentioned in the gospel passage. There's Herod. There's Magi from the east. All of Jerusalem. The chief priests and teachers of the law. And of course, Mary. Now, this coming into the world by God in this infant Jesus was not an unknown event in some backwater town. In looking at the list of people involved, now the ones that stand out for us tonight are on Epiphany evening, are the wise men or the Magi. I've done some looking into research on the Magi, and when you do that, we find that they belong to a group of gifted sages, well known in the history of the Persian Empire, and they specialized in everything from astronomy to religion. Magi living in Babylon doubtless came into contact with the descendants of the Jewish leaders and rabbis exiled by Nebuchadnezzar all the way back in 586 BC. Now, a large Jewish community stayed in Babylon for the next 1,000 years. So, these Magi would have been familiar both with messianic prophecies in the Old Testament as well as the star symbol of the Messiah. Numbers 24:17 says this, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. So the Magi's famous question when they reached Jerusalem, where is the newborn king of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him, was not something that they asked simply out of a vacuum or off the top of their heads. Now, we actually know very little about these particular wise men. We don't even know how many there were. The Bible doesn't say. Now, three is a good number, though. I mean, imagine having 40 wise men in your nativity scene. But we say three because only three gifts are mentioned, gold, incense, and myrrh in the Scripture. Now, the early church spoke of three wise men, even coming up with names for them. There was Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. One of the greatest scholars of the early Middle Ages, someone we know as the Venerable Bede, wrote this about the wise men of our lesson today. He writes, the first is said to have been Melchior, an old man with white hair and a long beard, who offered gold to the Lord as to a king. The second, named Caspar, young and beardless and ruddy complexioned, honored him as God by his gift of incense, an offering worthy of divinity. The third, black-skinned and heavily bearded, called Balthazar, by his gift of myrrh, testified that the Son of Man was to die. So, God coming into the world was not a small thing. And take note that Jesus was marked for death from his very birth by both the gift of myrrh and the actions that took place after today's gospel reading. Remember the story that Herod had all of the babies in and around Bethlehem killed in an attempt to murder Jesus as a child. So death is what the world wanted for Jesus from the time it was known that he was born. Again, Jesus' birth was no small event. And now, with the coming of these non-Jewish wise men from the east, because of a star in the heavens, the whole world was aroused, and aha was made aware that things were now different because God had come to earth. And in typically rebellious human fashion, we sought to destroy him. Jesus came, and he came to bring us the gift of life. But it was death that greeted his arrival. The gift of life is Christ's offering to us. We are changed, and our view of our world is changed by this gift from Jesus. But we have to remember, this applies only to Christians. We see the world as different because of what Jesus has done by coming and dying on the cross and rising again to give us eternal life. But most people in our world today don't realize that's the real truth about Jesus. And that truth is what we get to come alongside them to help them to see and to hear. We get to share with them the gift of life, the gift of life that we've been given, a gift most of them don't even recognize that they need. But we know. And we are responsible to live in this world and share what we know so others too may have life eternal in Jesus Christ. We need to spend ourselves, to spend our lives as gifts to those around us, telling them what's been told to us. Jesus spent his life for us. He did that so that we would know his gifts of freedom, peace, and love are ours. We're given this gift so that we can be spent in giving that away to others. That's the thing with gifts. They're only gifts when they're given away. Look again at the gifts given to Jesus in the gospel lesson today. The gifts of the wise men, as we said, pointed out Jesus' kingship in the gold, his divine nature in the incense, and his necessary death in the myrrh. But it was through his singular death that his gift of life for us was accomplished. Knowing what gifts the so-called Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar brought leads me to ask you to think about this. What gift would you have liked to have given the newborn king? Now, consider this. What gift do you bring to him in your daily life? When you leave here today, give that some thought. It is our faith to believe that this child, the Magi bring their gifts to, it's in our faith to believe and understand that this child is both fully God and fully man at the same time. This isn't just some kid who later was elevated to the status of being God because he earned it by his good works. No, he was from infancy. From within Mary's womb, he was God. He was God in the clothing of human flesh and blood. The Magi coming and giving their gifts was putting the world on notice that God had now come to us. This epiphany, this revealing of who Jesus was bigger than merely a simply aha moment. The Magi, these men from the East, these were not Jews, just as you and I are not Jews. But their coming was evidence that the whole earth was being awakened to a new paradigm, a new way of seeing things. It was a new thing. It was a heavenly thing. And something which had never happened before. But it will happen again. That's what we're promised. It will happen when Jesus returns. But today, in Scripture, we see the epiphany, the revealing of Jesus as a shift in the world. It's a sea change like we would never have understood before the coming of Christ. We've been granted, through Jesus, the gift of God's grace to know and understand that this child comes to give us God's grace and mercy through his own sacrifice. The result is eternal life for us instead of eternal death. This change, this aha moment, is not about snow falling on some beach or iguanas falling from trees. This is not about the changes that happen in a family, a school, a workplace, or even a congregation. No, this change moves us beyond this world and out of ourselves. This change comes to us because this baby has come to us. God has come and has not left us alone. It is his gift of life to us that we take and freely share with others. We are who we are today because Jesus is who he is today and always. He is the revealed Holy Son of God in the flesh. In his name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.